Everybody, welcome. Another episode of On the Bench. This one's going to mean a lot to me, and I think it's going to mean a lot to you guys too. This one, even I'd even go as to describe it a little bit bittersweet, man, because I'm sitting here with my friend. This is Trey Rold. I'm here with my bud, my compatriot, my colleague, Zach Blostein. And Zach, as we all knew you would, the meteoric rise, your talents are undeniable. You, my friend, are moving up in the world, and you are leaving us here at Knowles 24/7. So, Zach, I want to have this episode. We're going to talk about where you're going next. Obviously, irreplaceable, but you're staying here within the fam. We're talking about what you're doing next. And then I want to have a little, you know, cue the Green Day music in the background, best time of your life, all that stuff. But I want to have a retrospective of the illustrious career Zach Blostein has had at Knowles 24/7 and beyond, started as an intern. So I can't wait to get in all those fun moments. But Zach, we're going to miss you, dude. Tell the people what you're doing, where you're going.
Yeah, appreciate you, Trey. Appreciate it. Appreciate everyone. I mean, yeah, so the next step for me is moving into a role, staying at 24/7 Sports, but going to be covering the state of Florida. So basically focusing on the top prospects in the state. So obviously won't be covering Florida State day to day moving forward, but
especially not if it's a top prospects thing. Absolutely.
Hey, too soon. Yeah. So, hopefully once things get back on track, I'll be on the board much more, but I will still be on Knowles 24/7 pretty frequently. I'm not, you know, completely leaving the site. So that's a silver lining to this for me, especially because, you know, and just to kind of give a personal note here, like this is, you know, an opportunity that you know, didn't really like fully emerge a couple of years ago, but it was talked about. And honestly, like in that moment, I told, you know, my boss, I was like, hey, like, you know, I'd potentially be interested in this, but I love what we have going at Knowles 24/7. And, you know, specifically like growing the message board community has been one of the best parts of the job. It's one of the reasons why I liked being, you know, covering a team specifically, because you just get to log onto the site and interact with hundreds and thousands of people that love, you know, what you're reporting on. And you get to talk about not just Florida State, you know, football, recruiting, other sports. You get to talk about, a bunch of different things. And yeah, I mean, I've just had so many memories over the years interacting with all the Knowles 24/7 subscribers on our website. And that was a huge reason then that, you know, I wasn't super interested in leaving and really kind of advancing, you know, quote unquote advancing like in my career, because, you know, I felt like I was in a really good spot. This go around, like I felt like this is the right next step for me. You know, personally, I felt like, kind of like meshed well with what I like to do, when it comes to covering this job, you know, doing this job, it's covering high profile recruitments. And that's not a knock on where Florida State is right now, but it's just something that, you know, I found a lot of passion in, and I realized, you know, doing that, you know, on a more frequent basis, and also, you know, traveling, getting around, you know, the entire state of Florida. It's a state I grew up in. It's, you know, I lived here my entire life, so I love it. And I feel like, I want to tell the story of how unique it is. And every area is unique. If anyone knows Florida, you know, you go to South Florida and it's unlike, you know, pretty much anywhere else in the country. But, you know, then you drive up to Orlando and that's a whole different scene. You go to the West Coast, the East Coast, up towards the Panhandle. And there's just so much that I think is charming about the state. And that was another factor of me, you know, making this move. But yeah, I mean, I'm super glad to still be on 24/7 Sports in general. And, you know, I'm covering the state of Florida. Florida State's always going to recruit the state of Florida. So that was, you know, that's a plus for me. Like I did not want to leave the site completely. I mean, I love the community that myself and you know, my coworkers have built since it first launched all the way back, I think in 2011 is when Newberg, first launched this thing, and, you know, just have so many, you know, great memories throughout the, you know, it's crazy to think about. I mean, it's literally 7 years about, which is, you know, kind of when I started up as a high school senior interning, thanks to Newberg, you know, vouching for me. You know, I don't think, you know, Chris was fully on board at the time. And then I think Sinone was a little wishy-washy, but yeah, Newberg kind of stuck his neck out for me. And you know, I obviously appreciate him a ton for that. And really, I mean, like that, you know, Newberg's obviously, you know, a lifelong friend, and the rest of my coworkers over the years have been, you know, some of the most amazing human beings to get to work with on a day-to-day basis, and you know, gonna consider them lifelong friends.
And man, it is cool, like what you said a couple years ago, because this site, particularly over the past like 4 or 5, ever since Adam and Kevin and myself got brought on like officially when Josh left, like you and Brendan and Chris have been in that core three. So all of the growth, all of the different things you've done, the way that that community, even with one of one of the foundational pieces when Josh left, the way that it's continued to grow and all the great content that you guys have put out, like that's you, dude. Like that is 100% tangible, and it's associated to your hard work along with Chris and Brendan and everybody else. So man, I appreciate that. Like that's hard to walk away from, but I will say, and I said it to you off air, I'll say it to you now, man, congratulations, dude. You are great at it. Like it is going to be fun. You do build great networks. You do connect with these kids and their agents and their handlers and all that, and breaking the juice, man. Like that's you. You want the juice. You want the scoop of the inside stories. What officially, Zach, is your title going to be? And is there anybody for like our subscriber base, like a guy that did this sort of same level job? Like who would you equate to? Like if they're familiar with some of our like writers of the past?
Yeah. So the official role, I believe, will be called National Recruiting Analyst with my region. I like that too.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I think that it, you know, region being just the state of Florida. And then, you know, to kind of compare it, the last person that did this specific job at 24/7 was Andrew Ivins, who's now in charge of the rankings for the entire network. I don't remember exactly when Ivins finished that role. It was a couple years ago when he moved fully into doing the scouting stuff completely. But he killed it back then, and he kind of set the precedent for like what's expected of that role. But we have a team of national reporters that cover different regions across the country. So like, you know, I'm sure if you've been on Knowles 24/7, you've seen a lot of those people go on the site and post information about prospects in their region. So like, you know, just Tom Loy covers the entire country. Brian Doan covers the Northeast. Blair Angulo is out on the West Coast. Mike Roach kills it over in Texas. So there's just a couple names that kind of are in a similar role, just in different.
Now you're one of them, dude. One of the big dogs. How awesome is that, man? Like this is like a dream job for you, dude. Like I appreciate the hesitancy years ago, but I'm just so happy for you. But I do want to get into the past, talk a little bit about the future. I think there's a lot of fun rehash stuff. So you mentioned, when did you start, like, how did you and Josh connect? Were you just, like, bugging him on the message board? Like, how did you become, like, a factor to now at, how old are you?
I'm turning 26. I don't know when this is airing, but I'll be 26 when this airs.
26. Oh, my God. You're just a fresh 26. Now you're a national recruiting analyst. How did you worm your way into this world, my man? It's very impressive.
Yeah, so I mean, I just had an interest in recruiting, and not even just covering it, but like just a general interest. I think like a lot of us have, and you know, I had an injury in high school where I tore my ACL, and I was just like, you know, and it was like the second of two like knee injuries that I had within a few year span. I'm like, I can't keep, you know, playing sports. You know, that was like a goal, but I had a realistic kind of outlook on it to where like, I'm not some special athlete. So, after the second one, I was like, okay, like, I need to figure out kind of what's next. And yeah, I just, it was around the time when Jimbo Fisher was, you know, on the exit back in 2017, and Willie Taggart was being hired. And I remember, you know, just somehow I got looped into the, you know, the juice that surrounded that hire. And, and it's crazy to look back on.
Did you have like inside info on the hire? Were you like, were you that close to it?
No, not at all. I was complete, you know, I was just a fan back then. And I would just, you know, start posting, just about like my thoughts on recruiting. And I really had no idea, you know, like what I was talking about. And then, you know, I started to just have an interest in like, you know, producing content. So I launched like, I don't even know if this is still out there, but I launched like a podcast. It was called like, I want to say it was called like Tomahawk Talk or something. And what's funny is
I think there's about six more of those right now.
Exactly.
Like the same name.
Yeah. So, what's funny was, I think Bud actually reached out to me when I was just a fan. He was like, you need to like change this name, because he was at Tomahawk Nation at the time.
He's got to be so mad now with the proliferation of all the Tomahawk names. He's got to be steaming.
Yeah. So, I ruffled some feathers, but yeah, I mean, it was just, I would have like current players on the team on the podcast, and I just found it as a cool way to kind of like provide some FSU related content. And then, you know, I started like looking into potentially, you know, joining one of these websites. And I reached out to some people, and I actually started at Noel Game Day, with Logan Robinson and Dustin.
Oh, there. Did you really? Yeah. I didn't even know that, dude. How about that?
So I was over there, great guys over there. And then I want to say I was there for like 2 weeks. And I wrote like an article, just like an overview of recruiting. And it was not, I mean, I didn't know what I was talking about, but I was just kind of reading the tea leaves, you know, talking to a few prospects here and there.
Sure.
You know, probably ripping like Newberg and Knees information and stuff. And then at the same time, I was like posting on the, you know, I got a membership on Knowles 24/7. I was just posting like, you know, trying to be like an insider and not realizing that that's like just not okay to do. Like,
hey, bro, how old are you at the time? Are you like 17?
I was doing 18, this. I want to say 18 or 19.
Yeah, man, just figured it out, buddy.
Yeah. So I mean, the word was back then that Chris Knee, and I think Sanone to some extent, like we're like, you know, ban him off the site. You know, this is like a conflict of interest.
Zach Banstein? Oh my God, then, they were going to ban you?
Like, I remember like Newberg reached out to me and he was like, hey, like you can't be like posting on our site and also be like a contributor on another, like covering recruiting. That's just like, that's, you know, weird. So, you know, I was just like, I had no idea what I was doing. Obviously I was not doing things the right way. So, I mean, luckily, Newberg reached out to me and he was like, hey, you know, would you be interested in like joining us, like just as a free, you know, intern and just kind of learning the ropes. And I was like, I would love to do that. So, and I was surprised because, you know, I thought I was not in their good graces. So yeah, I, you know, joined, I want to say it was like in April of 2019. And I was, you know, like I said, was not really producing content. I was just trying to help out when I could. And the learning curve was steep for me because, you know, like I said, like I was not in tune with how recruiting was covered. Didn't even really know, like, because I had only recently started like following recruiting. Like I wasn't one of these like lifelong, you know, fans of just following it, you know, from a day-to-day perspective. I remember like tuning into like signing days back when I was younger and you know, like leaving class to go see like who FSU had signed. But this was when I was
so great, dude. Yes. Those were great on those Wednesday parties. I remember the big three roll up ones. They used to like people used to have like legit signing day parties. Yeah, people don't realize it now. It used to be cool.
It was a holiday.
It was a holiday.
Yeah. So just kind of learn the ropes from Josh, from Chris, from Brendan. All of them were like equally influential in me being able to do the job at like a respectable level. You know, like Josh, you know, obviously his thing was kind of the breaking news aspect, and he taught me a lot as to, you know, what it takes to do that. Chris, I mean, relentless work ethic. Yeah. I just remember like when I was a freshman at FSU and I really started to get more, you know, in the weeds with covering things. Like, I mean, I would just be with Chris like all day, you know, for multiple days of the week as we covered different recruiting events, and, you know, team, items as well. And then, I mean, Brendan, like one of the most like creatively, you know, just effective people I know. Like he is, just like his comes up with like the best, like, you know, content ideas, mm-hmm. and, you know, just like overall, like life advice, like, you know, can't thank Brendan enough for all that he's done. And, you know, like when you guys joined over, I mean, like the amount of like passion I gained for like learning more about the game of football, I mean, through Adam, through you, through like
through, not through me, through those two for sure.
I mean, but your enthusiasm, I think, helped a lot. So
all right, thank you.
Yeah, and Kev, like obviously, and I should like so many good memories. Like I just remember like when Kev joined us, I told my roommate in college, I was like, oh, these guys joined us, you know, Kevin Little. He's like, Kevin Little, that's my biology teacher.
he gets like regularly called out like on the way to like the Dirac library because he's teaching now at Florida State. Like, oh, X's and O's. Like he gets shouted out in Tallahassee all the time, man. That's great.
Awesome. Yeah. So
that was the first official Kevin Little shout out, and it actually threw you, Zach. That's history right there.
There you go. No, but yeah, just like could not be more blessed with the like team that surrounded me throughout my entire time covering Florida State. I mean, I'm not one of these people that I don't think I would have figured it out to the degree that I did, and as quickly as I did without the amount of resources that each and every one of these guys like poured into me over the last 7 years. So, I mean, I'm incredibly thankful for it.
Well, you did a lot yourself, buddy. You're very talented. I think so. I love the formative years too, because I remember around that time is when I started doing my own podcast, and I would have you on as like a guest because you were like the intern. It was fun, dude. Really fun, like fun times. What was like the biggest eye opening or like learning curve moment for you when you started as an intern? Or maybe was there like a story or recruitment that you like put out too much or the wrong kind of info on? And like, what was your first time like getting pushed back and be like, oh, dude, I'm not supposed to do it this way?
Yeah, I think I was just like a little too like over positive, you know, in a way. And like, I just remember like my whole thing was like, I would love to like just tease the message board with like, oh, you know, big news coming or something.
Oh, you're that guy. Vague posts and get them all churned up.
I didn't realize it's, you know, kind of, it kind of sets you up for failure in some way, because, you know, when things don't go according to plan, you kind of look like an idiot. So I definitely did that too much and learned my lesson. I remember like my first memory covering recruiting was actually the spring game, Willie Taggart's first spring game.
Which was crazy.
It was loaded. It was loaded. So, I mean, I remember one of my first interviews was Kayvon Thibodeau. And this was Kayvon Thibodeau was a five-star defensive lineman out of California. Obviously now I think he's with the Giants still, right?
Possibly first round pick, went to Oregon. Yeah. We all know, but that guy, that was a big one for us.
Yeah. I mean, like Florida State was his leader for a good chunk of his process. You know, all the way into the season when obviously we know how that kind of unfolded.
Games had to get played.
we slack surfed. And then it went downhill from there, but Kayvon Thibodeau was kind of the first recruitment I ever kind of remembered interviewing, and just, you know, it was kind of like starstruck. I mean, it was like Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Evan Neal.
The Kobe Dean. Like, these are all like, these are all NFL players that were at that spring game, like thinking back on it. And just kind of, I mean, you know, I did my best, but I was nervous and just kind of like watched what, you know, and took notes of what Newberg and Knee were doing when I was up there. But yeah, that was kind of the first memory of really, you know, getting going. And then, you know, obviously a number of other, you know, high profile recruitments over the years afterwards.
What? Yeah, N'Kobe Dean. I think that was the one. What wasn't like Taggart and his coaches like playing spades with like N'Kobe Dean's mom? Am I thinking of that? Like the linebacker? That was like, dude, yeah. that weekend was crazy. So I could understand anybody get a little starstruck because it was, you had all that like pent up like fan excitement. And then,
yeah, that summer, like that offseason was some of the most hype I've ever been around. And that, you know, that even like that, I think that supersedes the like lead.
I wonder if you're still there.
Into the 13-1.
Still there, buddy, having a little connection issues. We will see. I don't know if we're going to cut this out or not, but I was like, I want to hear, because I agree with Zach. I think that time, obviously, the way it turned out, not great, but that time for Florida State, I think you're on mute right now, but I wanted to hear what you said when you were kind of like scattershot there, because I think that was the most hype time over the past like 7 to 8 years. Like as far as like excitement, it was just so different. Like the amount of people they had at the spring game, that was probably the most hyped time at Florida State, especially from a recruiting perspective, like ever, right? During your tenure here.
I think it was, you know, from a hype, like, cause back then the transfer portal wasn't even like really a thing. No. Obviously, I think the thing you can compare it most closely to is that portal window where they were gearing up for their 2023 season.
That was crazy too, but different, yeah, different level, right?
Yeah, for sure. I just think like the dichotomy between Jimbo Fisher leaving town and then Willie Taggart coming in, and just like all of the energy that surrounded that, and people kind of like they were much more active on social media. I remember that being a thing because Jimbo's staff wasn't really on social media.
Oh yeah, Willie would tweet. Yeah. People would get hyped up for the Willie ring tweets. Ring. Yeah.
I remember there was a few missing ring tweets that just never.
Oh, you'd have to track down which kid it would be for. Oh, dude, that is fun stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, you're like George Pickens was visiting. You know, one of the, like there was just. I mean, for all the flack that he got, obviously, with how his tenure turned out, I mean, that first offseason they were in on some real dudes.
And dude, I don't know if anybody remembers in Tallahassee, we were putting like war daddies on everything, cups, shirts, like, dude, it was it was interesting. But so you mentioned a lot about what you've gleaned from like other people. Zach, what do you think that now that you're going to this national recruiting analyst role, you're going to probably be working, mixing it up with some younger guys. They're going to be looking up to you now. What are some things that when they work with Zach Blostein, they're going to go, man, I learned this from Zach. Like, what's one thing that you think that the younger, the next generation, when they're working with you, what do you think they're going to glean from you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I had to learn was just like not taking things too seriously. You're going to mess up. Like it's just the nature of the business. You try, you know, your best to report to the highest degree you can. But when you're in the nature of trying to break news, like you're undoubtedly going to get something wrong. And I think like Josh Newberg helped me a lot with this and not even just like directly, but just watching how he operated, like his, like he kind of had like a, you know, kind of don't care mindset of like, you know, I feel really confident about my sourcing on this, you know, information. And he would get pushback all the time on different stuff that he would put out there. But I knew that Josh was talking to the right people, was getting, you know, information from the right places. So, like that gave me a lot of confidence that like, if I do this job right, you know, like I'm confident in what I report. And, you know, I think it's just about having that discretion of like, okay, is this information good enough, to put out there? Is it solid? Are you getting it from enough different angles to where, especially if it's something sensitive, right?
Sure.
I think that's the biggest thing that I would, like I you know, kind of talk to people younger than me and in my space about is just, you know, is like not taking things like too seriously to the point where like, you know, I think some people, they get something wrong and then they just never want to like take risks.
Like take it too personally, yeah. Like that type of serious, but the actual, some of this information, these are some of the biggest decisions at these kids' life up to absolutely. This point. Right. So, yeah. So it's interesting. I think what you're saying is you can't take it too personally. You got to kind of have like a short memory, like quarterback style. Like once you refine the process, because if you trust the process and something, and a kid makes a split second decision, you didn't do anything wrong. Just things change, man. You're dealing with human beings. It's the most volatile commodity in the world, right?
And something that Brendan always like talks to me about whenever I'm like asking him a question on whether I should put something out is always like, you know, well, if this does go sideways and it goes in a different direction, like the most important thing that you can do is like be able to tell the story of how this happened. So like, let's say, you know, I put in a prediction for a player, and I get it wrong. The kid commits to a different school. Well, I need to know why I got it wrong, and then like be able to document that. That's I think another really important part of our jobs is kind of and any journalist I think is you know really like owning the complete start to end of the story and being able to tell that.
I'm with you, dude. Taking that personal accountability, right? Because it is your name on the, it's your name absolutely. On this stuff. So you got to like that whole process. But once again, you've done that. And look at where you are now, 26, fresh 26 years old, man. It's obviously you're doing the right thing. You talked about some of the Willie days. I want to talk about what were some other just ridiculous, and there have been so many, dude. Florida State fans have been put through it. But for you personally, what were some of the other like ridiculous moments that as you're covering, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And maybe give some behind the scenes stuff of what it was like, what you were actually going through. And any other stick out to your mind during the Willie and the Mike tenures and all that?
Yeah. I, you know, with the Willie tenure, I just really wasn't like super plugged in and tuned in. I was kind of still learning the ropes.
Right.
So I really, that really started once Mike took over, you know, before the 2020 season. And I mean, like, I, as much as it hurts to bring up, the Travis Hunter, like, saga was...
How was that being on the inside, dude? That, I can't, because we weren't at the site at the time, and I just remember when that happened. Like, that kid all but... Travis Hunter, if people remember, he was like committed to FSU. He was like the next Derwin James. Like he was almost like tattoo level. Like this kid was done no matter what. That was nuts at the time. If you weren't like materially involved in the space, what was it like for you?
Yeah. I'm trying to, I had like a text with Travis Hunter back when he first committed to Florida State. And I mean, I want to say he was committed for around 2 years. I mean, this was a guy that, like they took him, you know, kudos to Marcus Woodson at the time, who was the DB coach. Like they took Travis Hunter before he really even blew up with offers or rankings or anything like that. And the kid just grew up a huge fan of FSU. You know, there were never any signs. Like even when you look back at, you know, like the post-op of the recruitment, it's just like I guess like the one thing I remember seeing Travis at one of the home games of that season before the signing day, obviously in December when he flipped, and he seemed like I was walking towards the stadium to go into the game because I was like going to cover it, and Travis was walking away, and I was like, that's weird. So I don't know what like he was in Tallahassee and he was in Tallahassee like almost every weekend. It felt like
all the time.
Yeah. All the time. So there was just like not a thought in the world that that recruitment would go south. And then obviously the infamous moment, I think, you know, for people that, that were listening back then, I mean, we did a, an OTB live stream on signing day.
Oh, that was dead. That had moments, man. Cause yes. Everybody, I think I might've hopped in on it for a little bit.
You did. Ingram was on it.
Ingram was on, yeah. I think during the actual decision, right? You guys watched the decision live when it, oh my God, that was a car wreck, dude. That was crazy.
Yeah. So I remember the moment that we knew was when, so Josh got a text from someone in the building saying, hey, this might be happening. And it was not on our, like, it was not on our radar whatsoever. None of us. And like, it wasn't on a Florida State's radar until that morning either. So obviously it came out later that Travis was like doing in-home visits with Dion and took a visit to Jackson State. And that, I think that was out there, but everyone just kind of brushed it off as like, oh, you know, it's Dion, you know, like it's one of his favorite players or whatever.
Yeah.
So Josh gets, Josh gets the text and we all like, I think in unison, kind of like our jaws drop and we're like there's a, this is recorded. We got to go find the moment. But I mean, I was like, at that time, I was much more like personally invested in and in how they did, just because I, you know, I wasn't that far removed from being just a like a 100%, you know, true
you
fan.
Were, you were in school. You were in school at FSU. School. You were a student was, at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was devastating, right? Like
it was
that season did not go well, and Travis Hunter was supposed to come in and kind of change things around, and. Yeah, it was devastating news, and that's, I mean, that live stream was crazy, and I just, yeah, I mean, Travis Hunter's recruitment was super fun to cover from start not to finish.
95% of it was great.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, like it was one of those recruits where you wrote anything about him, and just thousands and thousands of people would you know,
eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. Eyeballs. Would tune in. So. Yeah, and seeing Travis in a live setting was kind of the first kid that I was like, okay, like this is like what it's like supposed to look like when people talk about like generational, mm-hmm. like that's, you know. Then I saw like the whole different saga, but Jeremiah Smith, and that was like kind of the two closest ones. But yeah, I mean that was kind of the first like WTF like so you know moment.
That was a WTF on the high school side. Another one, and we're playing the hits here, but a WTF from the portal side, dude.
Yeah.
I've never really gotten to talk to, you know, Brendan or Chris or you until now, but bro, the Amarius Mims stuff, unbelievable. Tell you on the inside, because at that point we hadn't seen anything like that either. That was like its own. That was its own deal. Talk to me about being on the inside for that one, dude. That has to be one you'll be carrying with you for years.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so much about it that you can get into, right? Obviously, the recruitment itself, like once again, this is a five-star prospect that FSU missed on in high school, but you know, he spent a year at Georgia, I believe. And then was ready to get on the move. He had a great relationship with Alex Atkins, the offensive line coach at the time. And the whole thing was like, oh, you know, we're going to miss on some of these guys in high school. But like, getting we feel like good, like we're going to get him in the portal. So, yeah, I mean, he enters the portal. I remember we get wind. And it was funny. Like I was listening to something before this, like our recap pod back then to kind of get like refresh my memory on all.
Oh, you did. Okay. So this is fresh in the mind. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, dude. Look at that preparation.
There was, so Josh was reporting at the time that Miami was trying to get him in for a visit. And they believed that they were getting him in for a visit at the same time that we knew Florida State was expecting him in. So Josh put it out there. Hey, you know, Marius Mims is visiting at this time. And that was kind of like, oh shit. Like this is really happening.
It's turning real. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of get wind of the time of when he's supposed to arrive. I mean, this is like the biggest recruit of the Norvell era at this point, really. Like, you know, obviously Travis Hunter was a big time one, but you know, when you talk about immediate impact, like this is the most freakish looking offensive tackle I've ever, you know, seen to this day. And Brendan and I pull up to the hotel that we haven't been told what hotel he's going to.
Were you guys just guessing, like, or is this total like, accident?
It wasn't a total accident. Like, we were kind of like, we had a few different spots that we were, you know, looking at potentially.
This is great. I love
it. Yeah. So like we weren't told, we were just told like, hey, you're going to get a heads up that when he's here, but we wanted to like go document it, 'cause like we knew how many eyeballs were on this recruitment. So Brendan and I pull up, it's the hotel that's like by the park over there. I forget the name of it, but yeah. So we pull up, there's no one there. We kind of like hang out for like an hour. And then we eventually, dude, this is wild. We eventually
loitering.
Yeah, basically. And these like, I'm sure the hotel, like it's, you know, like workers are like, who are these people? And we're just like hanging out. Like, we're hanging out at the hotel bar, but it's not even open yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We look like fools. We're just constantly peering over like the little balcony over to the front to make sure we don't miss him.
Oh, dude, little shifty sports riders.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So then we see a little wheelbarrow like basket thing with FSU like goodies in it. So like, oh, like this has to be the hotel. They're setting up his room with like the, you know, the little stuff they do for the official visits.
Adrenaline spike. Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah. So then we move down to like where the entrance is of the hotel, and the coaching staff starts to arrive. We see Mike. We say, what's up? We see Alex Atkins, a few of the others that are there. I think Derek Ray had just joined the staff, the GM. He was there. They're like, what are you guys doing here? Like they understood.
What are you guys doing here?
Yeah, exactly. So we all kind of got a laugh out of that. And then, yeah, Marius Mims pulls up, in the Escalade, gets out. I mean, just looks like $1 million, obviously, as everyone knows. I think either Brendan and I recorded a video of like the moment where Norvell's like dapping him up outside mm-hmm. of the hotel.
And the
revolving doors are opening and closing, so you hear the war chant like coming in and out because they're just blaring it outside the hotel, which I find like hilarious. Kind of the moment. The Marius Mims thread, do you remember that?
My God. To this day, that's the craziest thread in Knowles 24/7 history.
I think so. I mean, there have been other crazy threads, but like when you talk about like just in a couple week span, like I don't think there's
legendary thread.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it documented it from the start, like very start to like of when we started reporting on him to the end, like well after the end, where I think Chris just locked it eventually.
A sad day, dude.
Exactly. So yeah, so obviously everyone knows how that recruitment unfolds, but you know, if you're one of the few that don't, like, you know, he was like all but set to go to Florida State. And you know, this was before really the portal era.
This is like proto NIL, like the Wild all West super, days.
Like we didn't know what we were doing covering it. We didn't know what we were supposed to say or not say. But yeah, I mean, this is all out there at this point because this was all part of the NCAA investigation. They got FSU like in trouble. But yeah, I mean, he had like an off-campus meeting with like the NIL rep for FSU, and a deal was agreed upon. So then obviously like the other site, War Chant, put out a report basically saying that you know, Amarius Mims was committing to, or like basically was going
done deal up. That it was a done deal.
I don't remember the exact wording. I'm not trying to like rehash that, but no. I remember you know, we were kind of scrambling like this is weird, like we usually don't cover recruitments like this where you just kind of like say the kid's going somewhere and he hasn't announced anything. So I just did what I usually do, and I just hit up Amarius himself. I hadn't really talked to him much at the, to this point. But I was
Did
just
he pick
like,
up?
Well, I hit him actually. I want to say I hit him up on Twitter. I'm going to see if I can pull up the DMs.
Oh, this is good, dude. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still got his account. I got to see. But yeah. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, did you commit to Florida State? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, there's like a report out there that you did. And, you know, he basically is like, well, you can say, you know, from the horse's mouth that I haven't committed anywhere. So, you know, obviously we're like, okay, like we have to print this.
It's in the DMs, dude.
Yeah. Yes. So to go back to your earlier, you know, question about kind of like the first moment where I got like pushback. I mean, this was the first big like recruitment that I covered where, you know, I put that out, you know, and I obviously ran it by my coworkers and like, yeah, like put it out this way. So I put it on our message board, tweeted it out. And I mean, fans were coming at me. They were like,
sure.
Yeah. They were like, you know, why are you trying to like discredit this? Like, you know, why are you saying that this didn't happen? And I'm like, this is what the kid told me. Like, I, you know, I'm not like super, you know, plugged in here. I don't know every facet of it, but like between myself, Josh and Brendan and Chris, like we felt like we had all sides kind of covered.
Yeah.
And like, despite him saying that, we still felt like he was going to end up at Florida State. It was just the like formality of it. And then obviously like he moves into the later part of his visit. And you know, there's a whole situation that went down with like one of his like close friends passing away.
Oh, he had to leave early. That's right. Yeah.
And it got like super emotional there. So that was like a sad part of it. And then, yeah, I mean, he heads back to Georgia, you know, with his family early, and then, you know, the rest is history. He ends up back on Georgia's roster soon thereafter.
That's one that you're going to
like, you know, like, yeah. It's just, it was a wild recruitment from start to finish. And just, I mean, I'll never forget that. And just, you know, like that was like when I realized like how just like when this fan base, when they have something to care about, a product that respects them, I mean, like they are more, you know, in tune, you know, rabid than pretty much any other fan base in the country.
Yeah. We're just pent up, dude. We're pent up. You'll see if we're coming back. What's the funniest? Have you had any funny like coach interactions? Because when you started intern student at Florida State, now you're dealing with like these guys been doing it for decades. They're all millionaires. Who the hell is this kid talking to me and screwing up my recruitments? Like, you ever had any that you would like to share? You don't have to, but this is a question we didn't go over. I just figured, I wonder if you had any that stuck out in your mind, like, oh, these guys see me like this. I'm not just Noel guy, 420 South Florida boy on wherever your name was on the message board. I'm sure it was pretty cool, but like I'm a thorn in their side now a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a funny one. It doesn't really have to do with like my reporting or anything. But, and I don't remember if I brought this up on the pod before, but a few years ago, I was like out covering a recruiting event up at FSU, and I was taking photos of the guys arriving, you know, as we do
as
up
we
there.
Do.
Yeah.
As we do.
Yeah. And I happened to get Odell Hagans in one of the photos, and Odell was not happy about that. and he's like, hey, like, and the, you know, we laugh about it. Like Odell and I laugh about it now, but at the time he, you know, cause his whole thing was like the reasoning for it. I'm sure he just doesn't want to be like photographed like randomly. I'd be the same way. So I get it. But he was like, you know, this is Mike Norvell's program. You know, I want the attention on him, not on me.
He's such a good dude. God, yeah. even when he's mad at you for taking a photo of him, he does it in a very cool Odell way, right?
Exactly. but it was like, it was intimidating because like, you know, I'm just like, see this, you know, Odell is this like older, like really nice guy. Like I've never, you know, really, I hadn't really interacted with him much at that point. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like a random weekend. But yeah, he really like went at me there for a second. I was like,
rattled you a little bit, huh, big dog?
Yeah, for sure. Ever since then, he's been like super like cool to me whenever I see him up there, just talking about that moment. I'm trying to think if there's any other like weird coach interaction stuff. Oh, I remember Taggart staff. So the coaches reached out to me because I liked like a troll tweet or something that I thought was funny. It was like, it was some, I don't remember exactly what it was, like what the tweet was about.
And you could like, see likes back in the day.
Yeah, like, back then you could see
who liked funny, what. Dude.
So it popped up, I guess, on his like notifications, like, hey, Zach liked this. And it was something negative about FSU, but it was like objectively funny. Like yes. It was, you know, you see those tweets. So it wasn't like I was like, you know, out to get them, but that's how he took it. And he was like, what is this about? And I was like, dude, like you're gonna track
because you're focused on the wrong stuff.
Yeah. that was kind of one of those moments.
That's so funny, dude. I love it. Being a national recruiting guy on the age of social media. And you mentioned something too, man, that I want to get to, because I don't know exactly where you're coming from, but when we were talking about it before we started recording, some fun stuff between like our site and other sites. What were you talking about? Because I'd like you to share that, because I'm interested to see what you're going to talk about, because I don't particularly know.
Yeah, it's just super silly stuff. But we would, you know, we try to like gain any competitive edge that we can, right? So, you know, like I'd be in Tallahassee like when I was up there for school, like during school. And, you know, Chris, like our big thing was like we went all in on recruiting, right? That was kind of like we wanted to make sure we dominated recruiting coverage during the off season. So we were all hands on deck. And you know, like obviously we compete with a few other sites like for recruiting information.
And other Florida State sites?
Yes, yes.
Oh, this is fun stuff. All right, keep going. Yeah, this is what people like to hear. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so it's so dumb. But so they would have these summer camps, like, you know, like, I'm trying to think of the name, like Seminole Showcase and Elite Camp, like some of these ones that were like invite only to the point where like, and even like the Midnight Madness, I think that's what it was called. When the COVID, restrictions lifted, you know, all these kind of events that like, you kind of had to know what was going on behind the scenes to get the details on them, at least at the start. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, where they were being held, what time. So we would figure out like what the plan was. It just felt like, you know, we kind of had like the advantage on that. And like that other people out there would kind of just like follow us, like, you know, with what we were doing. Like we just noticed that was like a trend. So
like physically follow you. Like I know it's Zach's car.
Yeah. Well, it would just like, we'd be out there and like, oh, you know, they're walking to the IPF now. That must mean something's going on. So what we would do is like, we text in our group chat, like, hey, Chris, like go act like a decoy, just pretend like the recruiting event's going to be there. And then all the rest of us would sneak away to where it was actually like being held.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did, like a few times. And like to the point where we almost got like just exclusive coverage of some of these events, like multiple times. It was the silly, like, I don't know why we cared so much. We got to make our jobs, you know, more interesting.
Yeah.
In the off days of summer. But it was just like, it was one of those things that we just got a kick out of, like
dude, that rules.
We got to like go cover this, you know, this like probably meaningless event, like exclusively, as a website, just cause we were like doing all these like little mind games and stuff. It was just,
I hope the subscribers realize these are the type of links we go to for you guys. You don't even know all the different ways are working for you, man. That is great. I've never heard that, but that's like the Mike Leach when he was the OC at Oklahoma, like leaving out the fake like playbook or whatever for Texas to find. That's that's going above and beyond. That's why you're a national recruiting analyst at 26. I love that. Zach, so as we kind of, you know, we're transitioning into some new, right? You're still going to be around. We're still going to see your face. You can't quit us, dude. You're going to be around.
I know that.
Do you have any, and we'll get there. This is another pod for another time. Do you have any words of advice, things that if your replacement, per se, the person who's going to be taking over, who will be announced, if they haven't already been announced by the time this pod comes out, at Knowles247. Do you got any words of wisdom for them, man? Words for them, things that they should do, things to focus on, any unique things about the subscriber base or the team that they're going to be covering now in the next phase of their career?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think, like, the current state of Florida State football is not indicative of what this fan base, like, is and what it deserves. I think that's the biggest thing that I've already relayed to the person replacing me, who I, you know, feel really confident is going to do a really good job. But, you know, kind of like giving them a warning of, like, you know, that this current state is not acceptable, obviously, as we've, you know, well outlined. But when this thing gets back humming, it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the country, because there are so many passionate people that care about Florida State football and year round, that, you know, I think as soon as things get back on track, which they will, hopefully soon, it's going to be a blast to cover. And I think that's the biggest piece of advice, is like, don't let whatever the next 6 months is color your opinion too much of, like, what this job is going to be like, because I got to experience it, the highs and the lows, but, you know, when
everything,
yeah, exactly. But those highs, I mean, like, we remember the 23 season, and just like, dude, I remember being, you know, like drunk at the LSU game, just going wild in Orlando. And just, I mean, those are like some of my favorite moments. And like, you know, I think as someone coming into this, like, it's, you know, if you don't get to experience that and see where things are at right now, it's kind of hard to believe, right? For someone on the outside. But people generally have an idea for what the Florida State can be. So I think that's the biggest thing, is you know, not letting what, you know, the situation they've let, you know, kind of persist and unfold here, tell the story for what this job or you know, this program is going to be like. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of my. That's what I've relayed already. And, you know, I want the fans to know that too, because, like, you know, this isn't something where, like, I take for granted, like, what, you know, this, like, the message board has been like. And
this has been a decision you struggled with, man. Like, you even said it's been years in the making to finally pull the trigger.
Absolutely. And that's an important thing to, like, to stress, is because, like, I mean, truly one of the things that, like, continues to draw me to the site every day, despite the news not being super enjoyable to kind of cover and track right now, is just like knowing that I'm going to be interacting with this cast of characters that we've kind of cultivated over the last, you know, 15 years or so on Knowles247. And, you know, appreciate each and every, you know, one of them, even the ones that are, you know, more adversarial to me. You know, that's what makes the dynamic so fun, is just having that kind of all these different you know, mindsets and approaches to how people consume this news. And yeah, I mean, this just, it's a wonderful community. And I can't wait to see what it looks like once things deservedly get back rolling.
I totally agree, man. Well, I just want to say, for me, one of the best guys in the biz, dude. I talked to you on my pod. I've talked to you on this pod. And honestly, like, it's impressive what you've done at the age that you've done it. But I will tell you, in no way is it surprising whatsoever. This moment that you're at right now, man, you were earmarked for it. You were born for it. Like, and you're going to do a fantastic job. Like, you continue to do a fantastic job. I guess just before I let you have the last thing I want you to do is to, you know, say anything you want to the subscribers. But I guess one thing too that I'd like you to say is that you're a guy who's kind of living their dream right now, right? Like, you are getting to experience, and your profession is your passion. You got any advice for people out there that maybe, man, how do I end up like Zach? How do I get to do something that I legitimately love every single day. Any words of advice for those people before I let you end it with your words to the Knowles 24/7 subscriber base?
Yeah, well, you know, if you're talking specifically about getting into you know, sports journalism, or more specifically, like what I do, which is like covering, you know, high school football recruiting, the biggest piece of advice I can give, because, you know, it worked for me, was, you know, I think journalism school and you know, getting educated on, you know, whatever profession you're getting into is valuable. And I'm never going to tell people not to do that. But, you know, I'm not educated with a, you know, a journalism degree. And, you know, there's times where, you know, I kind of wish I was, because there are like, you know, ethical things you run into, like, oh, I didn't know that. And, you know, that comes with it. But the biggest piece of advice I can give to anyone wanting to get into like any sort of sports journalism is just go create content in some form or fashion, whether that's working, you know, at a website, for a YouTube channel, for a streaming network, whatever. Get experience and create content. I think that's the best way to go about making yourself valuable, because, you know, I was not creating good content when I got luckily asked to be an intern with Knowles 24/7. I think if there's anything I would attribute that to, it's just I had a passion for it. I was like obsessed with recruiting at the time. But, you know, I think that's kind of the, like, not everyone's going to find something that they're, you know, it's their dream job and that they're going to wake up, you know, loving doing every day. You know, I think that's unrealistic just from my experience. But I think if you do find something like that, and it's something where you feel like, you know, you can sustain yourself and your family, like, I mean, my mindset has always been like, I'm never going to take this for granted, because, like, even when, you know, like, things are down right now covering Florida State, like, I would much rather be doing this than, you know, doing it. Like, I would not function well, you know, not like, I'm sure I'd figure it out, but like, this is my dream. Like, you know, being able to do this, like, I truly don't really get burnt out from doing this work. And I think that's the biggest thing, is like, if you find something you're truly passionate about, that you feel like you can, you know, go and make a career out of, like, go 110% in on it, and don't let there be a day where, you know, someone outworks you. Because I mean, that's just like, I don't know what, I don't want to know what it looks like, you know, without this dream, you know, being realized. Because I mean, it's something that I just am so passionate about. So, that would be my advice for anyone, like, it, honestly, in any potential career, but specifically in sports journalism.
I love it, dude. I can feel it through the screen. Final, not final, because you're going to be around. Still with the network. Florida State's going to get in Florida more. You're going to see Zach all over the place. But a final, for the purposes of this podcast, just a lasting message that you want to give to the Knowles 24/7 community at large, man. You're going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough without you there as frequently as you are. I know you're going to be peeking in as much as you can. I know you can't quite get away, man, but we're going to miss you, dude. We really will. 100% mean that with all sincerity. But the final word, of course, is yours, Zach Blostein, national recruiting analyst, sir.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I want to thank you, Trey. I mean, like, from the moment I've known you, you've been like one of the greatest dudes in this space. Like,
oh, dude,
you know, I talk about all the time, and Brendan always gets mad at me for raving about how, like, I mean, you're just like one of the wittiest people I know, like, in my life. Like, you're just, I mean, I think you're extremely talented, and I'm excited to see where you know, you go with this passion of yours.
Thank you, truly appreciate.
Like, I mean, like you mentioned before, like, you having me on the Rollcast, like, back in, you know, whatever that was, 2019, 2020.
A million years ago, dude. Yeah, you were still a young pup, no facial hair.
Yeah, I'm sure if I listen to that, I'm gonna cringe at what I sounded like. But having those reps of, like, being with someone that makes it, you know, so easy to be comfortable on air was huge for me, because it, you know, that helped me become a lot more comfortable getting, you know, experience on OTB, And yeah, truly grateful for you, dude. And
thank
then to,
you,
you know, to the fans, I mean, just like super appreciative of the last 7 years of just nonstop support. You know, I know there's been trialing times for all of us, right? Like, and I've been right there with you, you know, as much as I try to put on a front of like, you know, this is my job and I have to be professional. Like, dude, like some of the news I've covered like during this time has like made me genuinely like depressed. Like,
You guys wondered, dude, he's still a fan.
Yeah, crazy degree, but like there's times where it's like you like some news, you know, like the Travis Hunter deal, the Mims deal, like that stuff like hurt, man. So like I get it. And I want nothing more than for Florida State to return to where it deserves to be, which is at or near the top of college football on a yearly basis, because this fan base deserves it more than any fan base in the country with what they've been through. So, yeah, like I said, just from a personal standpoint, appreciate everyone that's supported over my entire, you know, tenure from – I mean, I remember like the warm welcome I got on NOS 24/7 and just like, I mean, it was like a honeymoon phase, not in a way that like it really dipped off after that. Cause like I'm still like incredibly supported today, but like, I just remember like having that enthusiasm with like anything I would put on the board, like that like made it so much more rewarding and fulfilling to want to get better at doing this. So like, to the people back then that were supportive and super enthusiastic, I mean, had a profound impact on, you know, where I'm at today. So can't thank my coworkers enough, like I said before, for all the hours and of advice and just tips and tricks on how to do this job that they've poured into me over the years. Yeah, and just excited to see FSU get back on track so I can be on the message board more often moving forward. And yeah, I mean, if you know, anyone, like I'm still going to be active on the board, I'm sure, posting on random threads and interacting with those of you I've gotten to know, and you know, making fun of some of you guys and pushing back and doing all the fun stuff that we've, you know, gotten up to for the past 7 years. So yeah, just truly grateful and excited for what's to come.
Zach, I can honestly say, man, couldn't have happened to a better dude. We are going to be watching your career continue to be on that upward trajectory for as long as you want it to be, man. We love you, buddy. We want you on the message board. You still got to come back and poke fun at Brendan every now and then, right? Exactly. Man, like, yeah. Dude, we love you, dude. Congratulations from the bottom of my heart, from everybody that's watching, listening, writing on the message boards. I love that you took, man. I remember the post of like when you were an unpaid intern, it'd be every other one. Hey man, why don't you pay this kid already? That was, dude, I remember all those messages. Exactly. Zach remembers them too. You're the best, dude. I can't wait to see what you produce. I 100% know it's going to be top notch. We love you, buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
For Trey Rowland, for national recruiting analyst and freshly 26 years old Zach Blaustein. That was a tough, but it was a great episode on the bench, man. Zach, you rule, buddy. See you later. Keep chopping.